give you. All I have is my embrace. And Sri Ram embraced Hanuman with tears of gratitude. And for Sri Hanuman, that is the ultimate reward. Just to please Krishna. So Sudama, that was the ultimate reward. He didn't want anything. He just wanted to please Krishna. And he was taking great risk because he was living in the regime of Kamsa. Kamsa hated Krishna. Kamsa practically every day was sending asuras into Vrindavan to kill Krishna. And here is one of his own residents in his own kingdom giving free garlands to Krishna and surrendering his life to Krishna. He was taking risk. Kamsa had spies everywhere. But he didn't care. This is love. And Krishna gave Sudama that benediction that all of his desires would be fulfilled in this life, and afterward he would go back home, back to Godhead for spiritual perfection. So Vishnu Chitar, he was so inspired by the Lord's grace to the most menial, common person. And in his own humility, he wanted to be like Malakara. So in a village, Sri Viliputur, he had a deity named Vattapatra Shayana, which is Karadavindara Padaravinda Mukaravinde Vinivesayantam. We read about in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Maitreya Rishi was in that ocean of dissolution, he saw on a banyan tree leaf little baby Gopal floating around, sucking on his toe. And our acharyas tell us that devotees are in so much happiness tasting the sweetness of the dust of Krishna's lotus feet, which means tasting the sweetness of serving Krishna with love, that Krishna wants to taste what his lotus feet are like. The Supreme Absolute Truth, Vishnu wants to taste that. So he took the form of little baby. And I guess little babies naturally like to suck on their toes. Don't laugh, because you were all little babies some. We have all tasted that experience. But by Srila Prabhupada's grace, now we get to taste the experience of the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna. And sweeter than that is the dust of the feet of those who love Krishna. Vishnu Chitar, or Peri Alwar, decided to dedicate his life to growing flowers in a garden and making garlands to offer to his deity, Thakurji. Menial service. He was living a very simple life, digging with a spade on his hands and knees, planting flowers, pulling weeds, plucking flowers, and making garlands. Completely satisfied. The ultimate experience and the ultimate goal of his life was simply that he could offer that garland and place it on the form of the Lord, and the Lord would accept it. He wanted nothing else. One day, in Madurai. There was a king whose name was Ballabhadev. He conquered all the provinces around him. And he was a righteous king who loved his citizens and his citizens loved him. In the spirit of Lord Ramchandra, sometimes he would disguise himself incognito to wander around the kingdom just to see what people were thinking, what they were doing, and how they were living. He came upon one Brahmin who was sleeping. He was very interested to hear something from this Brahmin, so he woke him up. He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I have just come from a pilgrimage to the Ganga in North India. I'm a Brahmin." The king said, "Can you tell me some words of enlightenment that will help me in my life?" The Brahmin said, "8 months a year, a man will labor so that he can enjoy happiness for the 4 months of the rainy season. Half the day, a person will labor so that he can enjoy coming home at night." Similarly, this human form of life is meant to pursue self-realization so that we can enjoy the highest liberation after we die. This really had an impact on the king. He was thinking, "There's nothing of this world that I have not achieved. I have no wants, I have no needs. But I haven't done anything for my own spiritual life." He went to his chief minister, who was a learned scholar, and asked him, "Please tell me how I could prepare myself for spiritual realization." The minister said, "According to the Dharma Shastras, you should bring an assembly of great learned scholars, pundits, have them come together for a debate on spiritual subject matter based on the authority of the Vedas. And whoever wins, you should inquire from him and follow what he says." The king called for all the great pundits, scholars from his entire kingdom. They were all eager to win this debate. There was a flag of the kingdom, which was in the assembly hall, and the king put a very priceless treasure, wrapped it in cloth, put it and tied it with a rope, and hoisted it to be up near the flag. And whoever was to win that debate, he would bring down the treasure and give it to them, and they would cut it. Meanwhile, back at Sri Viliputur, Vishnu Chittar was performing his simple service of gardening and making malas and offering it to the Lord, completely satisfied. One evening, he had a dream. The Lord spoke to him. He said, I want you to go to Madurai. There is going to be a debate of the greatest scholars in the entire kingdom. You go there and speak my words on my behalf for the welfare of all of humanity. Vishnu Chittur was struck with wonder. This is impossible. What? He said. I am poor. I am illiterate. How possibly can I enter into a tournament with the greatest intellectuals of the entire country? My dear Lord, look! My hands! They're dirty. They're cut up. They're calloused from just working in the fields day and night. I'm just a poor gardener. I'm fit just for humble service. And you want me to stand amongst the wisest men of the kingdom? I'm not learned in the Vedas. And I'm supposed to challenge literary geniuses? Why are you asking such an impossible thing from me? The Lord responded in the dream, "Why do you worry? I will do everything for you. Arise and go." As soon as he opened his eyes from sleep, he took his bath and began the journey. There was no question. This is faith. When he arrived in the kingdom, in the royal assembly, King Balabhadev, he understood that Vishnu Chittar is coming from a hierarchy of priests. So he stood up and gave him a very warm reception. Meanwhile, the other pundits, they resented this. Why is the king honoring him? He is a dullard. He's a fool. He does not even know one letter of Vedanta. The minister of the king asked Vishnu Chittar to speak. He stood up after praying to the Lord of his heart to empower him. Like Valmiki Muni, who was just a simple hunter, a dacoit, he was not learned in any way. But by the mercy of Narada Muni and by the instruction of Lord Brahma, he presented to the world the Ramayana. Or like little Dhruva Maharaj, who was only 5 years old and had no education. He was living in the forest by the grace of Narada also. And when Vishnu appeared to him, he wanted to offer prayers, but he didn't know any. And the Lord touched his head with a conch shell, and by doing so, empowered him to speak such beautiful Sanskrit poetry, so deep with wisdom and devotion that now, even yugas later, the greatest scholars and saints are repeating and attaining perfection by doing so. Vishnu Chittar stood up and said, "The conclusion of all the Vedas is very clear. It is self-evident. The beginning of the alphabet is the letter A. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, of letters, I am A. A, according to the Pancharatra, is the symbol of Vishnu. Krishna, or Vishnu, is Param Brahman, the Supreme Brahman. He is Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. He is the ultimate liberation can be achieved simply by meditating on Krishna. Man manabhava madbhakto madhyasim namaskuru mame vaishasim satyam te pratijani priyoshime. Always think of me, you will come to me without fail. This is confirmed by even the greatest sages, Manu, Parasara, and Vyas. The conclusion of all Dharma is to always remember, speaking with such profound realization, conviction, and wisdom, they were stunned. There was complete silence, and right in front of everybody's eyes, spontaneously, without anybody doing anything, the treasure just lowered. Slowly went lower, lower, lower from the flag of the king and came right in front of the hand of Vishnu Chitar, who cut it. At that point, King Balabhadra and everyone else, they applauded. And the king called for a royal procession. He escorted the simple gardener to a royal elephant. Highly dancers and the pundits were chanting mantras. And here is little Vishnu Chitar, feeling himself to be a totally empty vessel. On honoring his pure-hearted devotee, he wanted to come himself to see. He's sitting on Garuda, his bird carrier, and on his side was Lakshmi Devi. He saw Brahma, Shiva, everyone within all of creation, unalloyed pure souls, to a place filled with fear that your coming to this world will cause you inconvenience. Vishnu Chitar, his love caused him to forget the ultimate supremacy of the Lord. And he began to pray for, as a parent blesses for her child. Intense love begets concepts of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. That when we meditate on God as the omnipotent, omnipresent protector of everyone, then we see him as our protector. This is the nature of spiritual rasa. Many examples of this are throughout the scriptures and the histories. Dasarath Maharaj. Dasarath Maharaj was at the yajna. And Kausalya, his Ram's mother, although she knew his supreme position, she always blessed him by protecting him. That was the nature of her love. As was Janaka toward Sita. As was Vishwamitra Muni toward Ram. Maharaj Guha, when he heard that Lord Ramchandra was exiled from his kingdom, in one sense, that's transcendental knowledge, is it not? Krishna is the controller of all controllers. He's the source of Narasimha Dev. He's the source of the universal form. Hanuman knew that Ram is the Lord of all lords. Hanuman was the greatest scholar of the scriptures. Why didn't he just apply transcendental knowledge? Ram, your expansion of Mahavishnu, you just inhale, and the entire cosmic manifestation is destroyed. You exhale, and it's all manifested. You know everything. You know everything, past, present, and future. You're the Paramatma in everyone's heart, including Ravana. Surely you know where he is. Yeah? You're looking for him? You want us to find him? You know where he is. You're in his heart. You're in everyone's heart. You're in between it. You're in between every atom. You're all-knowing. You're omnipresent. You're omnipotent. You're the supreme. You're the absolute truth. Hanuman knew all that stuff. But due to the intensity of his love, his heart was churning that Ram is feeling separation from Sita, and I must satisfy Ram. I must find her. And how he endeavored, how he risked his life, how he performed every impossible feat to satisfy Ram. Devotion is a higher principle than knowledge. Although all knowledge is included in real devotion, intense love goes beyond and creates rasa, loving relationship. In these cases, Sugriva, Hanuman, they understood him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they still worried about him. They understood that Sita is the flawless goddess of fortune, but they worried about her. They cried for her. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Murari Gupta to Mahaprakash, and Srinivas Thakur was the answer to them. He revealed himself as Lord Ram and said, Murari, look, I'm Ram, and here's Lakshmi, and there's Sita. Don't you remember Lakshmi? When he was pierced by the javelin of Ravana and Indrajit, you jumped all the way to Himalayas and picked up the Gandhamadan and mountain and jumped all the way back. Don't you remember how you were done this to save the life of Lakshman? Save the life of God? Yes. And Murari, you are Hanuman. And Murari looked at himself and saw he had a tail. He fell to the ground unconscious. This is bhakti. The nature of love for the manifested in its ultimate state in Sri Vrindavan Dham. When Nanda and Yashoda, their love for Krishna was so intense, although they had the highest realizations of the perfection of the soul and the supremacy of the Lord, their love completely eclipsed any sense of acceptance that Krishna could be God. They simply loved him because he was Krishna. And Shukadev Goswami explains that Yashoda Mai and Rohini, as they were seeing little Krishna and Balaram as babies getting in so much mischief, it said they were constantly immersed in the ecstasy of anxiety. Does that sound like a contradiction? Because usually we don't want to be in anxiety. Vaikuntha means the place of no anxiety. And here we find the highest level of love of God is full of anxiety. But because it's anxiety of love for Krishna, forgetting Krishna's supremacy to feel, I must bless Krishna, I must protect Krishna. In the gopi situation, was when Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya, all the residents of Vrindavan were on the verge of death. The intensity of love. This culminates in the Brijabasis. Yashoda and Rohini were always thinking, Krishna and Balaram, they may be hit by the horns of a bull, they may be stepped on by the heavy hooves of a cow, they may crawl into a thorn, they may be scratched by a monkey, they may be bit by a dog. Sure. Of Vishnu Chittar's love on that level. That as just an occasional feeling he had, it was his constant bhava, his constant feeling of love. A love that is too deep for words to explain, and even too deep for the emotions of our tears. God's love for his children is inconceivable. So why cannot God make his children's love for him inconceivable? I will say that again. God's love for us is inconceivable. So why can't God make our love for him inconceivable? The Lord allows us to love him in this way. To wish God joy. To wish God all perfections in his desires. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya in great anxiety approached Srila Haridas Thakur and said, how will we deliver all these conditioned souls? And Haridas Thakur Singh, the Lord's anxiety, told him that, my Lord, just by your coming here and chanting the holy name, everyone has been delivered. Such prayers in this mood of intense love extends to all living beings. We find devotees who have this intense affection. They're praying for everyone. Inconceivable prayers. Because they know the heart of Krishna. Vasudev Dutt prayed, let me take the sins of every living being in the entire universe on my head and let them all go back to your abode, Krishna, forever. In the same way, as we make spiritual advancement, we will naturally pray. Let every living being get your love, Krishna. Let every living... As we begin to taste the sweetness of Krishna's love, our prayer is, let every living entity, every one of my brothers and sisters, all species of life, let everyone taste this love for Krishna. And little Prahlad, 5 years old, he tasted that love for Krishna, and when he was asked by Narasimha Dev, I will give you any benediction, what would you like? Prahlad said, I don't need anything. I'm tasting your kindness. Let me remain in this world as long as anyone is in forgetfulness of you. And let me give my life and soul to help them to taste the sweetness of your love. This is the nature of compassion. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada, when he was on the Jaladuta, he was writing a prayer after several heart attacks, seasickness, not knowing anyone, where he was going, not having any money. He wasn't just praying for his family back in Calcutta. He wasn't just praying for his associates in Vrindavan. He was praying for all living beings. He was praying, he was risking his life for people he never met before. And what a surprise it was when he actually met these people. Prabhupada was asked on a television station, "Swamiji, what is a hippie?" Because Prabhupada said, "My miracle is to make hippies into happies." And the person said, "What is a hippie?" It was an American television show. Prabhupada said, "You know better than me." And then he paused and answered. He said, "Something extraordinary." Living. Some say a well. And she looked at herself and smiled. And she would speak, "I look so beautiful today. I look so elegant, especially wearing this wonderful, wonderful garland." And she was thinking, she was rejoicing because she was so beautiful for Krishna. Sometimes we read how the gopis or the queens of Dwarka would decorate themselves so nicely with jewels, with cosmetics. And in this world, when people do that, it's usually because we want to attract people to our beauty. That's a bodily conception. But in the case of the queens of Dwarka or the gopis of Vrindavan, they wanted to make themselves super excellently beauty for the pleasure of Krishna. It was pure unalloyed devotion. As Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna doesn't see just what we do, he sees the intention of why we do it. One person could be singing kirtan, thinking, "Let everyone hear what a beautiful voice I have, and let everyone adore me." And another person will be singing kirtan, thinking, "I'm nothing. Krishna's given me the power to sing. Let me just enthuse everyone to love Krishna, who's in his name. I'm just an instrument." One pujari can decorate Krishna in such a way that the whole temple and the whole congregation thinks, "He's the best pujari. No one dresses Krishna like him. I'm going to come to the temple whenever he dresses Krishna for that unbelievable darshan." And another pujari is thinking, "Let me decorate Krishna so absolutely nicely that everybody falls in love with Krishna. Everyone's just ever so more attracted to Krishna." The intent. So Andal would put on the garlands, look in the mirror, and praise herself, her own beauty, because it would be pleasing to the Lord. One day, Vishnu Chittar was astonished. He happened to come in when Andal was wearing the garland of tulsi and flower. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. He said, "This has not been offered yet. You have contaminated the garland. Now I cannot offer it. We accept Krishna's prasad. We don't give Krishna our remnants." So we went into the puja room and we had no garland for Vishnu. For Krishna. That night in a dream, Krishna appeared to him and asked, "Where is my tulsi garland today?" Vishnu Chittar said, "Andal, my daughter, I caught her wearing your garland, even found her hairs. I found her hairs intertwined within your garland. So therefore they were desecrated. They were made impure. So I could not offer it to you, my lord." Vishnu said, "Desecrated? By Andal wearing that garland, she has consecrated it. Impure, she has purified it. It is my order to you. Never, ever give me any garland that was not first worn by your daughter Andal." Vishnu Chittar was very pleasantly astonished by this. And every day, after his gardening and his garland making, he would personally place the garlands on Anda and let her play with the garlands and let her go in the mirror and see herself in the garlands. Then she'd give it back to her father, and then he would offer it to the Lord. As she grew, her love for Krishna became more and more intense. She specifically was madly, passionately in love with Govinda of Vrindavan. The intensity of her feelings of separation were very much similar to that of the gopis. Day and night, she wept, she cried, she prayed to be reunited with her Lord. The world was like a dreamy void without that connection of the physical presence with the Lord. She longed, she yearned, she was so absorbed in her love and separation that like the gopis, she would imitate her pastimes. And this is how she spent her days. Her father was very anxious to see her in this condition. Day and night, just crying out Krishna's names, crying out prayers for Krishna to come. One day he asked her, "You're a girl of marriageable age now. What mortal can I marry you to?" Anda replied, "If you try to marry me to any mortal person in this world, I will die. I have given my heart to Krishna." What does a father say to that? He understood that no mortal will be married to my daughter. So he asked, "Which form of the Lord would you like to marry?" And she said, "Read to me the different forms and I'll tell you." Vaishnav, this is the time of the Alwars, there were 108 special forms of the Lord within this world. So he read the list of all these 108 names of the Lord. And at the very end, and she was listening, and at the very end, he said the name Rahanganath of Raghakshetra. And that name entered her heart. The father saw tears well in her eyes. Her limbs began to tremble. Her heart instantly gave itself totally to Ranganath. And she told her father, "I will marry no one but him." Now this was perplexing too. How do you marry your daughter to a deity of the supreme absolute truth, the highest divinity? That night, he had a dream. The Ranganath Swami appeared to him and said, "Do not worry. I will propose to you for your daughter." At the same time, the head priest of Rangakshetra, the Ranganath temple, had a vision. "Go to Shrivilliputtur with all royal paraphernalia of the temple and bring Andal, the daughter a Vishnu Chitar back to marry me. So the head priest had a royal procession with canopies and umbrellas and trumpets and horns and everything, and Brahmin priests chanting mantras and hymns. They went all the way to Sri to the village. And when they came to the house, they gave the message to Vishnu Chitur, who went to his deity of the Lord and asked permission. And the Lord said, whatever Ranganath wants, you should do. He made a beautiful palanquin and put his daughter in that palanquin. Then put a screen so that nobody could see her. Because now he was thinking, she's the bride of God. Somebody just told me an interesting story. How true it is, I don't know. The Krishna consciousness movement, that they're misleading people and tried to ban them and went to court. And he said, well, why? How are they misleading people? They said that they're worshiping this Krishna. What kind of God? According to their scripture, he has 16,108 wives. And even they, if they want to be gopis, they want to be the wives of Krishna. So that means this is a bogus thing. So the representative of the devotees said, please tell us what is the vow that you take as a nun. She was silent. So somebody read, the vow of a nun is to be the chaste and faithful wife of Jesus. Said, so Jesus has millions of wives. So if there's something wrong with Krishna having 16,108 wives, then what about Jesus? So the judge dismissed the case. So Vishnu Chitur made a screen around his beloved daughter so that nobody else could see her before Ranganath. And they brought her procession many, many miles into Sri Rangam, and there the king, Balabhadev, and all of the kingdom was there to receive her. There was a wonderful reception. They brought the palanquin into the inner sanctum of the Lord's altar. There, Vishnu Chitur lifted the screen and very softly stepped from the palanquin Undal. When the people of Sri Rangam, including the king himself, saw her beauty, not just the beauty of her body, the beauty of her soul, the beauty of her character, the beauty of her devotion, they were stunned. And with her beautiful, lotus-like, love-filled eyes, she gazed upon the lotus feet of Sri Ranganath, and then up to his beautiful smiling face. Softly she stepped forward and laid beside Sri Ranganath on his bed of Anantashesha. Then she pressed her body close to the Lord. Before everyone's eyes, she disappeared. She entered into the body of Ranganath. she entered into the eternal pastimes, the Leela of the Lord in the spiritual world. Seeing this, her father was struck simultaneously with joy to see his own daughter resume her position as the eternal consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But at the same time, filled with sorrow that his daughter was gone. He returned to his village for the rest of his life. He worshiped the Lord. By pulling weeds, by planting flowers, by digging earth, by strewing garlands and offering them to his beloved. Such simple service. Whether one is serving like Maharaj Prataparudra as the king of vast provinces with mighty armies, or whether one is serving like Kolavecha Sridhar, just selling a few bananas and whatever little you have from it, offering it to Mother Ganga and the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Krishna is Rasa Bihari. He enjoys the love of his devotee. And he enjoys showering his love upon his devotees. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to Kanyakumari and to all the other parts of South India to give everyone the opportunity to taste the sweetness of that love, to attain that perfection beyond the joys and sorrows of material existence, to realize that we are eternal, we are a part of God, Satchit Ananda. And Krishna's all beautiful, all playful, all sweet, all loving. And he's calling each and every one of us back to his eternal pastimes. The ultimate happiness. Parama Karuna Pahundri Jana Nitai Gora Chandra. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are giving it. This most rare of all treasures. To everyone and anyone. This was the special feature of Lord Chaitanya's South Indian tour. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he has forever recorded it to inspire us with hope and with direction. There is infinite hope in the grace of God. And in the association of sincere devotees, we can become strengthened, empowered by that hope. Oma pavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gatopi va. Krishna is supremely pure. there is nothing that could ever be so impure that cannot be instantly purified by Krishna. And thus we read in the great histories of very, very horrible demoniac people being liberated by taking shelter. Dina hina yatachilo harinamu dharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. To give us hope. No reason ever to be depressed. No reason to ever be discouraged. Whatever we've done, it's done. Let's move forward. Doing the right thing. With hope in the supreme power of Krishna's grace, of Sri Radha's grace, which is fully manifested through the hearts of their devotees, and which could be fully realized through sincerely crying out the holy names. Trinarapi sunichena tura ivasi hishnana amana namana dena kirataniya sadahari. If we can just aspire for that. To want nothing beyond being the servant of the servant of the servant, to offer seva with pure love. To aspire to be humble, like a blade of grass, forgiving, tolerant, like a tree. To offer all respect to others and not to really care whether we get it or not. If we just have this sincerity, Krishna reveals his eternal loving form, reveals his quality, his abode, and his supreme sweetness to us. And then we will understand what Rupa Goswami and all of our acharyas like Srila Prabhupada has told. Kirtaniya Sadahari. What it means to chant the names of the Lord with love very loudly forever. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested the love of Sri Radha and the gopis. Which is, according to Srimad Bhagavat, the highest, the purest revelation of divinity. Savai Purushang Paro Dharamo Yato Bhakti Radhokchaji Ahoitiki Aprati Hataya Yatna Suprasidati. Unmotivated, unconditional loving service is the highest dharma. When Srila Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. In that small sentence, all the wisdom of all the great scriptures can be realized. If only we take it seriously. But we cannot chant Hare Krishna and be happy unless we're really trying to inspire other people to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Thank you very much. Shall we chant Hare Krishna and be happy? Would you like to dance? Thank you.